How's everybody doing?
Good. All right.
End of the day.
All right. Just right on time. This class is a 3 CEM 1, and it's about how to manage your class. Our speaker today is Don Dief. Don has been in the children ministry for over 3 decades, including being the children director for several churches for over 27 years. She currently is encouraging and equipping children's workers as a private ministry consultant and as a conference speaker. Her passion is to assist in equipping children's ministries to see their kids build their lives upon the solid foundation of the Word of the God in order to be equipped to face the challenges of the years ahead. She and her husband of 46 years have raised 4 grown kids of their own and enjoy 6 grandkids. Let's welcome our speaker today.
Thank you.
So many things to wear.
All right. So, we're going to be talking today about, tossing this to you. Well, I was going to tell you about myself, but you already heard all that. So we'll just fast forward. All right. How many of you, first of all, how many of you are children's workers? Work in a children's ministry? Okay. All right. Any children's directors? All right. Ruth? How many of you have had children in your class that look like that? No? Oh, okay. Good. Good. Sometimes when we come into a classroom, there's just one kid, one child, who just makes us not even really want to be there. Sometimes they're just defiant, and by the end of the classroom, you are just beside yourself. Why am I doing this? How can I manage? Does anybody ever feel like that? All right, at least one. At least one look. All right, so today we're going to talk about how to manage your class. And managing your class is going to help you know how to have a class that's happy to be there, that you're happy to go to. The kids are learning. The kids are growing in the Lord. They're not running around and being crazy. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, God, for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that you do have a plan of how we can have a class that is eager to learn, that's eager to learn about you, God, and that is a joy for us to go into. So help us, Lord, just to understand the principles of how to manage our class today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so the question is, why do kids misbehave? Any ideas? Yes?
We like to have fun and see how the teachers get us frozen.
Okay, they like to have fun, and their fun means seeing how the teacher gets upset with them. That's pretty diabolical. Anybody else have an idea of why do kids misbehave when they're in class?
They want to win your attention.
They want your attention? Yep, for sure. They don't like, why do they not like the class? We're going to learn some ways of how to make them like the class. Okay, so here's a couple of ideas. First of all, there may be things going on in their house, at home, that maybe you don't even know about. Maybe mom and dad are fighting. They don't know how to handle it. Maybe mom and dad have financial problems. Kids don't understand financial problems, but they do understand there's something going on because I can feel it. There's tension. There's words spoken in the house. Maybe there's financial problems. Maybe there's job-related problems. Maybe dad got fired, or there's not enough money to keep the house or pay for the rent or whatever. Maybe there's no boundaries. Maybe mom and dad are so tired after work, they've been working all day, that the last thing they want to do is have a head-on fight with their kids. So they let their kids do whatever they want to do. So maybe that defiant child in your classroom has no boundaries. Or maybe there could be even abuse at home. It could be a physical abuse. It could be emotional abuse, speaking bad words to the kids. So there could be a lot of things going on at home that causes that child to misbehave. They could be having difficulties at school. Maybe they're teased or bullied, or maybe they don't have any friends at school, or maybe they're even struggling with their grades. So there could be other kind of influences that are going on. Maybe they could even have physical or behavioral problems. Maybe they've been diagnosed with ADD or ADHD, attention deficit kinds of disorders. Maybe they can't see well. Maybe some families can't even afford to get them glasses. Maybe they can't hear well. So all of those kinds of things are going to make a child want to get attention, like you said, and they're going to probably be displaying that in bad ways. So there's the glasses, there they're fighting. All right. Or there's one other reason. Maybe it's the teacher. The teacher who says, sit down and don't make a peep. I'm in charge of the class and you sit there and listen to what I have to say. Maybe the curriculum doesn't fit. Maybe, you know, the kids are just totally bored. And I think, did you say that? Yep. Okay, so maybe you're teaching too long. Maybe the kids aren't even be able to sit down. I mean, you know, move around, talk to anybody. So if we understand how to manage our class, we're going to eliminate some of those discipline problems and behavioral problems. So we're going to concentrate on how to manage our class. All right. So manage your class. To manage means to be in control of. Now here's the first thing, the way to manage your class. If you are a teacher, you be the first person there in the classroom. Because what you're saying is, you're coming into my classroom. It's almost like you have said, this is my domain. As a student, you are coming into my classroom. That makes me in charge. If you are prone to running late, you can't get your stuff together, the kids are in class, and you come running in, it's their classroom already. So one of the main things, honestly, you have to claim your property. I know it sounds like a dog, doesn't it? But you literally have to claim your property, and that, in psychologically some way, it helps the kids to know, I'm coming into her classroom, or I'm coming into his classroom. All right, so how to manage your class. So when you're managing your class, your students are paying attention. The students are learning because they're paying attention. And the kids are growing in the Lord because they're learning because they're paying attention. So when you are managing, you're in charge of your classroom, good things are happening here. So let's look at what the Word of God says. In Exodus 18:20, God says, teach them, people, in our case, little people, teach them God's decrees and give them His instructions. Show them how to conduct their lives. We all know that God's Word tells us everything we need to live a godly life, correct? That's participation, yes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Abby. Okay, so our job as Sunday school teachers or children working with kids in a Christian setting is to help them learn God's Word because it was going to give them instructions of how they should conduct their lives. Proverbs 12:1 says, to learn, you must love discipline. And this is the New Living Translation. It's stupid to hate correction. So there's something that connects together God's Word and discipline. And it also says in Proverbs 10:17, people who accept discipline are on the pathway to life, but those who ignore correction will go astray. So we know from God that it is very important to God that we teach our children how to love the Lord and how to conduct their lives. Would you agree with that? Okay, good. So discipline is an important part of managing our class. We want the kids to control themselves and set them on the pathway to life. So what is discipline? Discipline is the practice of training people to obey rules or a code of conduct. So when our class is disciplined, they are knowing how it is you're supposed to act. Act in acceptable ways. Different synonyms for the word discipline would be they can control themselves. We teach them, we direct them, we train them, we instruct them, we show them authority and rule. So it's very important in our classroom that we want students to obey the rules. And we want them to learn in a safe and a positive environment. So to have that type of environment, we have to discipline our class. So let's look at how we do that. How do we manage our class? I'm going to have a little acronym. So to manage, we're going to break it up to M-A-N-A-G-E. So we're going to learn how to manage your class. The little kids. I had so much fun doing this PowerPoint. I learn so much every time I do a PowerPoint. All right, so how to manage your class. M. M stands for make the rules. Make the rules. Set up simple rules that the kids can follow. Make them visible. Explain the rules and review the rules. Okay, so if you're going to make your rules visible, what are you going to do? Thank you. I'm going to count on you guys to just engage here. You're going to put it on a piece of paper or some way that's going to be visible to them. When I was leading a class I taught, I created actually a level 5 class, and I created a curriculum for 5th graders. So I called it level 5 because they're 5th graders, level 5. All right, here's our classroom rules, and here's a picture that I took of the actual board. Be respectful, be responsible, and be ready. Only 3 rules, but this encompassed be respectful. The rule was you're going to respect one another. You're not going to talk over everybody. You're going to respect the leader by not interrupting. We're going to be respectful. We're going to be responsible. When the kids come in, I expect them to have their notebook, because they had a notebook that was they were working on each week. When they come in, they're going to get their pencils, they're going to get a Bible, they're going to get everything they need to get, because I already told them what they need as soon as they walk in. And they are responsible for bringing the things that night. And then be ready meant that when we start class, you are ready to learn and you're ready to participate. So in setting the rules, there's only 3 rules. There's only 2 words apiece, but that encompassed how I wanted the room to, the mood of the room. All right? So I was setting the rules. For younger kids, maybe the rules might be safe and be kind. Just 2 rules, but that encompasses a lot. Be safe, you're not going to be running around, you're not going to be hitting people, you're not going to be throwing blocks at other kids. Being kind, you're going to say kind words, so think of rules. So the M is for make the rules. All right, so if you make rules, what happens when somebody breaks the rules? That's when you have to have, here's the things not to do first. Don't embarrass the kids. Don't say, you are always doing that. Every time you come to class, I cannot stand it when you come because you are a bad student. Not really. But wouldn't that be embarrassing if you were pointing kids out? So don't embarrass them. Don't threaten them. One more time and you're out of class and you are never coming back to my class. So don't threaten them. Don't look so... Okay. I'm not really threatening you. Don't have different rules. I like Abby so much that I'm going to let her do whatever she wants because she's such a cute girl. But somebody over here, nah, you're going to obey every single rule. No, don't have different rules for different kids. And you'll never hit or hurt them. We know that, don't we? Okay, please. Yeah, if not, we need a whole nother class. All right, so here's the discipline procedure. If a kid breaks the rules, here's the policy that I had. Just listen to it, and you can. This is something that you need to make with your director, or at least talk about it with whoever is over you. So this is what to do if you have a problem. At our children's ministry, the teacher would deal with a child privately. Yes, thank you, Abby. But never alone. Don't ever be in a situation where it's just you and a child. I know that you're not going to do anything, but accusations could be made and you have no way to protect yourself. So never be with a child alone. So hopefully, everyone, if you have an assistant in your class, anybody not have an assistant? Okay, it's very, very important legally to have an assistant in your class. And if you teach with a husband or wife, by law, that husband or wife is treated as one person, which means you need to have another helper. Okay, so you never want to be alone with a child because accusations could be had. People could misinterpret things. And never send a child out of the classroom. But you could just step outside the door. I notice that your doors don't have windows on them here. In a good setup for a classroom, if you're going to do a new building or anything, you want to have a window somewhere so people can look in and see that no bad things are going on. So the teacher's going to deal with a child privately but never alone and say, you know what, this is what I see happening and we need to make some adjustments here. So the teacher, if that doesn't work, the teacher would alert the service leader or whoever's in charge of you guys, your next up person. So you want to tell them, remember to have another person watch the class. Never leave your class alone. Let me tell you why you never leave your class alone. I have four kids. When my oldest daughter was probably maybe 8 years old, and we were in a small church, everybody knew everybody. And so our kids went up to their Sunday school class, which is upstairs. The sanctuary was downstairs. And the teacher, who was a good friend of mine, she had forgot some construction paper. So she went downstairs, left the class unattended, went downstairs to go get some paper. And before she got back up, a man came from off the street, climbed the stairs, and had my daughter and another little girl by the hand dragging them downstairs. That happened in an instant. Thankfully, some of the ushers were still in the area and heard. The guy ran off. But from that moment on, I am a staunch proponent of you have got to keep your kids safe. So that's why you never, ever leave your classroom unattended. You always have at least two people in there. So anyway, in this predicament, if the teacher has talked to the child and the child still keeps up the bad behavior, you're going to go up to the next level. You're going to talk to your director, and the director is going to talk to them. If that doesn't work, why is this not working here? What am I doing wrong? Okay. I talked too long. There we go. The service leader will speak to the child or your director. If that doesn't work, the teacher speaks with the parents and after class. Well, I'm having a difficulty with your child. If the problem continues, then the director comes back. The child is removed from the class and either sits with the parents or sits with the director. And then they talk with the parents. If that doesn't help, if it continues, inappropriate behavior continues, then the child has to go back to the parents, and the child is only allowed in class with the parents sitting with them for 2 weeks. So now the parents have to come in. and the child will then be allowed in class only after an agreement with the teacher, director, parent, and the child is reached. Okay. In the 17 years that I had this in place, I never ever had to go past just talking with a child. I never had to get down to here. Because it was traumatic enough, I guess, for the director to come and speak with the child. And when I did that as a director, we would talk about what was going on. I'd want to listen to, you know, why is that happening? Why are you doing this? And we'd always end up in prayer. You know, let's pray, and I know that you can obey and help the teacher out. So, anyway, that's that. Remember to pray for your kids every week. I don't know about your churches that you're from. In my church, not every child who came to church had Christian parents. And that really surprised me when I finally realized that. I was the only one who was probably praying for them. Maybe their grandma and grandpa were bringing them. So pray for your kids. They may be a great pastor someday. All right, so the M stood for what? No. Make the rules. The A stands for act fair. All right, treat all the kids the same. Don't have any favorites. Love them as Christ loves them. That's a hard thing to do because some kids might rub you the wrong way, but you look at them with Christ's eyes. Don't have favorites and pray for them. All right? What happens if you have special needs kids in your class? If you have a child who just can't sit still, and it's a physiological kind of thing, we have had special friends come in. In other words, we would appoint somebody. You're going to come in and be an assistant to us, and your only job is to sit and help this child. So it's a way of helping them to focus if you need that. Sometimes you might need, if you have a lot of kids with behavioral problems or special needs kids, you know, maybe it's time to think about having a special needs class. All right, so that's act fair. Any questions so far? If you have questions, please, just put your hand up. I am glad to answer questions, and we will answer questions at the end. So what is the M for? Make the rules, and the A is? Act fair. Now we have N, never give up. If you have a desire to teach, then teach. Romans 12:7 says, if you are a teacher, teach well. So if God, you know that God has put you in this place of teaching, and you don't have a clue of how to do it, there's lots of things that you can do. Let me grab some of the things here. Okay, let's see. I have so many things to show you. If you want to learn how to teach better, there's lots of conferences or conventions you can go to that are specific for children's ministry. And they'll give you lots of different ideas of things to do. There's children's ministry magazines that you can subscribe to. And they always have articles about different ages. And it will, you know, be specific for the age group that you're in. So there's children's ministry magazines. There's always great books of how to do different specific things. There's discipline, there's storytelling, and there's all kinds of things. So there's lots of resources that you can use to make you a better teacher. You can pray for your students. Okay, if you need to learn, learn. Pray for your students and for yourself. Pray specifically, God, I want to be a good student or a good teacher, so please, will you show me what are the needs of my kids? And then memorize key verses about teaching and not giving up. So some of the key verses might be Philippians 4:13. Let's read it together. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Does that include teaching? Yes, absolutely. 1 Timothy 1:12 is one of my favorite verses. When I got discouraged, I brought it, I framed it. I made it on a computer, a little picture, and framed it. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me and you, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. You're not there by accident. You're there on purpose. And God has the strength and the abilities that he's going to give you so that you can be a good teacher. And then I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in the truth. Isn't that what our desire is? Whether it's your own personal kids or the kids that are in your class, you want them to be walking in the truth. All right. So, what was the M again? Make the rules. Act fair. Never give up. Okay, the next A is always over plan. This is like put stars around this. Always over plan. The worst thing that can happen is you are done with your Sunday school lesson, but the parents aren't. In fact, the pastor's going another 20 minutes. Now what do you do? You've done everything that you brought with you. You have got to overplan. Overplan like you have an extra 30 minutes of class time, because it's way easier to cut things out than to come up with something on the spot. All right, so always overplan. Have your lessons well planned and have extra activities planned. Don't let the kids have free time. Free time is like, I have no idea what to do. Go over and take my class. What happens in free time? They're out of control. In my fifth grade class, they would get out their phones. They would start texting people. They would start looking stuff up. They'd be running around. Once they are gone, it is like impossible to get them roped back in. Redirect when needed. If the class is going off on a tangent and somebody's asking an off-the-wall question, you know, trying to get you sidetracked, know how to redirect and get back on track. So always overplan. All right. And G is grow relationships. So get to know who your kids are. Encourage them. Pray for each student. We talked about that before. Plant seeds of faith. Say, you know what? I saw the way that you treated the boy that didn't have a pencil, and you shared your pencil with him. Good job. That is sharing like Christ did. That's a wonderful thing to do. Say hi to them when you see them outside the church. Use snail mail. I know that it's easy to text and to email, but how exciting would it be for a kid to get something in the mail from a teacher? Snail mail is a wonderful thing. So we want to grow relationships. See, it's growing. And we're using snail mail. All right, so how do we manage? M, make the rules. A, act fair. M-A-N, never give up. Okay, always over plan. And G, grow relationships. All right. How do we manage E? Engage the class. This is like the most important thing. Engage the class. Engaged means to be occupied or involved. So you want the kids to be involved in what you're teaching them. You want them to have eye contact. You don't want to see that. Okay? You want them to be engaged. Because engaged kids, well, let's get the, why am I doing this? All right. Ah! Oh, for Pete's sakes. Fresh ideas. Okay. Engaged kids are, engage the class. Why will that go with mine? Oh, wait. Now we're alive. Okay. Must be taking a nap. I must be boring. Okay, so engage the class. Engaged kids are listening. Engaged kids are paying attention. Engaged kids are learning. They're moving around. It's okay to get up out of your seat and move around. And kids are remembering when they're engaged. He's engaged. All right. So let's look at some engaging kinds of things. What do I have next? Okay, attention span. Okay, let's do attention span. Does everybody know what the attention span rule is? For every year that a child is, you have 1 minute of attention. So for example, a five-year-old kindergartner, they are engaged only 5 minutes. 5 minutes is not a long time to do anything. That's why usually kindergarten classes, they're up moving around doing a lot of things. And if you have a fifth grader who's about 10 years old, you only have 10 minutes to engage them. So that's the attention span rule. So a good class involves these things. Short activities. You want short, different things to do. If you're teaching fifth graders, you want things that are 10 minutes, then we're changing over here to 10 minutes. Then we're changing over here. The kids are getting up. They're moving. Maybe you're moving the chairs out of the way. Maybe you sit on the floor. Maybe you're standing up. Maybe you're playing a game that has a purpose of reinforcing what your lesson is. But they're short activities. Not a whole 75 minutes of just lecturing like we're doing right now. Because you guys are over 10 years old, but I can tell we need to get up and move around in a little bit. So, add movement to your good class, too. Because each time you move, you're resetting that attention clock. So a good class also involves different learning styles. There are kids who learn best by seeing things. I'm a visual person. I don't know if you can see this in here, but this, if you're talking about how the veil in the temple was torn, here's a picture of what that veil would have looked like. A lot of kids don't know what a veil is. But it's for the visual learner, like me, I'll remember that now. If you're talking about how we're supposed to be yoked together with believers, what is a yoke? Show them a picture of a yoke. They'll remember that. And all of a sudden, everybody goes, oh, I want to see. Oh, you reset that attention span clock. All right? If you are teaching about trials, then you can talk about, you know, have verse cards. And by the way, hello. Come on in. This is how I started with visuals when my kids were little. Hey, you three guys, don't get comfy because I'm going to use you right now, okay? Come on up here. Come on. Come on. Come on. All right, so just stand up here. Don't get blinded by the thing here. All right, we're going to learn a memory verse, okay? Don't laugh. This is before cell phones. My kids are in their 40s. This is the kind of phone we had. So there's a phone for you. And there, snail mail. Woo, that's blinding. Okay. All right, can you turn the lights on for just a second? All right, so we're going to learn a memory verse using visuals. All right? This is actually Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer you. Hold up your little card. See, the answer is coming down. There's the answer is coming down to him. So call unto me and I will answer you. Call unto me and I will answer you. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Jeremiah 33:3. That's great and mighty things. All right, let's stand up. We're going to set our attention span. All right? Yeah, and when we sing your part, you raise it high, okay? Call unto me and I will answer you. Call unto me and I will answer you. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Jeremiah 3:3:3. Okay, now we put some hand motions to it, okay? Call unto me and I will answer you. Call unto me and I will answer you. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Get ready for this. Jeremiah 3:3:3. Good. Thank you, guys. All right. Good job. So the point of that is show visuals. Oh, Abby. Okay, wait. Not your hat yet. I need three more people. Preferably girls. You are not a girl. Come on, ladies. Just three. There's one, two more ladies. Oh, you guys are so shy. My goodness. All right, Abby, you're number two.
Okay.
And I'll be number three. All right? All right, so this is John 10:11. John 10:11, yeah. I am the good shepherd who gives up his life for his sheep. John 10:11. I forgot that part. I am the good shepherd who gives up his life for his sheep. John 10:11.
All right, so they
can
say it.
Oh. Okay. Okay. You guys are John 10:11. Okay? They're shy too. All right. Everybody, let's sing loudly, okay? I am the good shepherd who gives up his life for his sheep. One more time. I am the good shepherd who gives up his life for his sheep. John Taylor. Okay, so the point of this is, this is for the visual learner. I mean, these, honestly, these were on the backs of, I was a stay-at-home mom, these were on the backs of cereal boxes with contact paper on top. I know, it's before, I think, they invented lamination. But the point is, they have survived. My kids know every single verse that I put on a card because there was a visual attached to it. So, a super easy thing. Can you guess what that verse is? Oh, you saw that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, John 3:16. All right, so anyway, visuals do wonders. All right, so different learning styles. So there's visual learners, there are auditory learners. Okay, now that I know it's still working. Auditory learners, sing a song, make up a song. You don't have to, you know, be a songwriter. Take Yankee Doodle Dandy and put different words to it or something. So do listen on the internet or iTunes. Download some wind sounds if you're talking about Jesus walking on the water and do this. Oh, one time in level 5, we were talking about when the children of Israel were having Passover and the death angel passed by. We were in our little place. We were dressed in Bible costumes. We were having our Passover meal. And my assistant had downloaded the sounds of the death angels. That's what he searched. Sounds of the death angel. And so he, Jacob, played him outside. It was a, ooh, those kids, I mean, they remember that still to this day. It was awesome, but so simple to do. It's amazing. All right, so there's visual learners, there's auditory learners, and there's kinesthetic learners. You need to get up, do motions, act out the story, whatever you need to do. If you're going to act out the story, let's see what I got in here. Abby, you don't have my scarf, do you? Okay. Get up one more spot. Oh, I have a scarf, but I have the eyes of God. His eyes are always on me. Okay. My grandkids love to come over to my house. Here we go. Okay, if you have kinesthetic learners and you've told the story of, give me a Bible story. Hannah. Okay. Hannah is going to go to the temple. Get a scarf all of a sudden. You're Hannah praying for a baby. Have them act out the story. And then all of a sudden, Eli comes. Now you're Eli. Why are you drunk, woman? Use your mind. Think of things. All right. There's different learning styles. Going to use all the senses. All the senses. Let's see. What else? We're going to be talking about Jonah. Open up a can of tuna. Have it in the class. As soon as you get in the class. And it'll smell fishy. They will not remember. They will not remember. How can we do that? They will not. They will not forget. They will always remember the story of Jonah because it has a fish smell to it. The more senses that you can use, when we were doing the Easter, we would make a tomb. And women would greet the kids at the door to come and look at the empty tomb. They'd have spices in their basket. They would let the kids smell the cinnamon. They would, somebody had some frankincense. Just don't spill it because it's super expensive. They would be able to smell the frankincense and just, you know, use the different senses, your smell, your taste, the vision, hearing. I don't even know if I'll be able to find them in here. I did have, I brought some locks. Oh, yes, trust me. I have some locks I would show the kids. Look at, do you remember the story of David when he was going to fight Goliath? He picked up small rocks. Look at, feel my rocks. And they're nice and smooth and round. So the more senses you use, the more kids are going to remember. And the more, what are you going to show us next? They're engaged. And if kids are engaged, they are listening and they're learning. And that's the whole point of teaching the class, is to help them to know about God. So it's not entertaining them, it's engaging them. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay. All right. So that's what a good class involves. Okay, so here's some ideas to engage. Abby is going to pass around to some people an item. When you get your item, I want you to tell me how are you going to use that item in your classroom. So, for example, if I reached into my bag and got eyeballs, these are the coolest things, except you have to be above them to see them, but you can tell their eyeballs. Yep. You can talk about how God sees everything. Or man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. I mean, simple. I'm telling you, when you are out in the marketplace, you're going to be seeing new things that you're going to say, I need those eyeballs. I need that wooden snake. I always need toothpaste. All right? So, suppose I got eyeballs. This is how I'm going to use them. Oh, Abby. Oh, here's this model. Here's one of them. Oh, my eyeballs are falling out. Okay, so you're going to take the pearls. What else do we have left?
The eyeballs are in here.
Who wants a key? Ruth, good. All right, so starting over here, we have, what's your name?
Jane
has a birdhouse. Jane, what are you going to speak of? What could that birdhouse be used for?
I would probably use it for when Jesus visits Zacchaeus' house.
Oh, good. All right, very good. Abby, why don't you collect them on the way out? Okay, and oh, you got the squishy ball. What's your name?
I'm Connie.
Connie. I had to think about that one. Any lesson that can be from that? Hold it up and squish it really hard. honey, any ideas of what you could do with that? Okay, I would suggest, Connie, that maybe what's on the inside is going to come out. As the, what's in a man's heart comes out through his mouth. So when you get squeezed by maybe you're having a tough day or something, the good is going to come out or the bad. I know, that's a tough one. All right, who else do we have over here? Anybody in this area? Okay, what you got?
I don't know what exactly it is.
Well, let me show you. Let me show you. This is called a Chinese finger something. Sin is very easy to get into, but very hard to get out. You can't get your finger out. Oh, see? If you need ideas of things to look for, go to orientaltrainingcompany.com. All right. Anybody in the back? Ruth, I know you got something.
Yeah, I got the keys of the present door.
All right. Keys of the kingdom. All right. Very good. Good, good. Anybody in the back row? What you got? Oh, you got to put them on, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Judas was more concerned about money than about Jesus. Good. All right. Or riches. I mean, there's lots and lots of Bible verses about riches having wings and just flying away. So lots of things. Anybody over here? Okay, really? You've got an apple there. What can you do with that apple? All right, anybody? Adam and Eve, all right, but we don't know that it's an apple. You have to tell the kids that, because they'll say, Mom, I can't eat apples. Adam and Eve, that's how sin came. No, it never says apple. It could be the fruit of the Spirit. It could be, when I was teaching the fifth graders, I would bring in a totally fake pumpkin and a real pumpkin. And I would say, let's say, pretend like this is a fake pumpkin. Look it. This is a real pumpkin. Oh, is that? Yes, it is. Look, it's round. Okay, this is a real apple. No, it ain't. Yes, it is. It's round. Aren't apples round? Yeah. Aren't apples red? It's red. It has a stem. Apples have stems. It has a little bottom thing. Is that right? It's a real apple.
No, it's not.
See, and then I bring in a real apple, and I say, here's the deal. We need to know what the real is so that we can identify the fake, because there's lots of different religions that look like Christianity, but they are not.
No,
all right, snake boy. Oh, we'll come back to the toothpaste. Okay, snake.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry, when Paul was bit by the snake. Yes, very good. Good job. All right, and toothpaste. You know where I'm going with this, don't you?
like your analogy, it's easy to come out.
Excellent! It's so easy to squeeze the toothpaste out to say something just because you're in the moment. That is almost impossible to put it back in. So if you brought a backpack or a brown bag or something to your class, and every week there was something in it, and the kids didn't know what it was. Do you think that they would be engaged?
Yes.
Absolutely. Do you think that a kid would be trying to get attention? No, because he would be the first one up. He would want to know what's in there. Now you are managing your class. You're engaging the kids, and when kids are engaged, what are they doing? They're listening, they're learning, and they're growing in the Lord. All right, so that is engaged. That's a mystery brown bag / backpack nowadays, because it's almost impossible to find brown bags anymore. All right, board buddies. In your classroom, do you have like a mark and whiteboard or chalkboard or something? You can choose kids to come up, then maybe the first three that come in the room and sign their names and get their name badges, maybe they're the ones that can write the verse on the board. They're engaged. They're getting up. They're moving around. They're board buddies. Sword drill. Does everybody know what a sword drill is? Have your Bibles closed. Look up John 3:16. First one to point the verse out, they have won the sword drill. Your sword, your word of God is your sword. You could do sword drills. People, the kids are engaging. Pair share. Pair share is two kids. Maybe they're sitting next to each other. You can pair them off, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, however you want to do it. But two kids working together, you ask them a question, and they discuss it between themselves. And all the kids are doing this at the same time. So they're sharing in, as a pair of people. And then you have the kids come back, and they answer the question. Well, so-and-so thought this, and I thought this, and this is what we came up together as a conclusion. All right, so that's a pair share. Any questions? All right, another thing you can do is verses. We did some of the verses with the singing, showing visuals. You can write the verse on the board and erase a word at a time and keep repeating the verse. You can have the kids come and, okay, you come up and erase one of the words. Can I erase the word? Yeah, come on up and erase the word. And you keep saying the verse over and over again, but the kids are engaged and they're participating. So that's the whole point, is to engage the students. Mini boards. A lot of this stuff you can find at Lakeshore. So this is what I'm calling a mini board. Maybe a pair of kids are using a board, you give them a mark and white pin, and you ask a question. And they think about it, and they write it down, and then they put it up. They're thinking, they're moving, they are engaged. All right, what else do we have? Get moving. I don't think anybody's classroom has their desks bolted to the floor. Do you? You can move things out of the way. When I had my fifth graders, we had the 6-foot table with a fold-up chairs around it. Most of the time, we would start out there, we'd fold up the tables, and we would have the whole area now to, let's go sit over here, we're going to talk for a bit. Okay, I'm going to give you this assignment, you can go anywhere in the room, go with a buddy and answer the questions, and then let's come back over here. They were moving, they were getting up, they were walking, they were moving. If you want to play a game to get kids moving, play a game, but have the game have something to do with your lesson. Does anybody here know how to plate skate? All right. We're not going to officially plate skate, but I'm going to show you how you do it. Oh, these are great to have too. Big dice, foam dice. On plate skate, you would have created some true or false questions, or maybe some review questions, or maybe just some questions that have to do with what you're going to teach the kids, just to kind of get them thinking about things. You would have a true bucket and a false bucket. If you want to use chopsticks, you actually can get green and red carryout boxes. Did you know that? Very cool. Party City has them. So you would put these down at one end of the room. Green means the statement is true. Red means the statement is false. Get cheapy plates. It's called plate skate. So you have two teams. Each team has a set of questions. You would print one, let's say in red, here's the red team, here's the blue team. All their questions are in blue. So the kids get a question, they read it. What is it? Is it true or false? I don't know. What? How? Okay. And then they skate down with their statement. Is it true? Yes. Okay, they're going to put it in the green. And they're going to turn around and play skate back. Everybody in the row, in their team, is going to have a chance to play skate. Okay, they're still involved in what your lesson is about, but they're up and they're moving around, and they're talking with one another, they're making friends, and they're having a blast. They are engaged. It's not the teacher that says, sit down and don't make a peep. So get them moving. And the point of that, getting them moving, is now you have reset that attention span clock. And if you're fifth graders, I've got another 10 minutes. I've reset the clock. I can keep going. All right. Okay, thinking about it, how to engage the students. All right, so remember, engaged kids are listening. If they're listening, they're paying attention. If they're paying attention, they are learning. And if they are learning, they're moving and remembering. And most of all, they're going to be learning about God. And that's the whole point of you teaching a Sunday school class or a Wednesday night or whenever, midweek, whatever class you're teaching. The point is to have them learn about God. And there are so many different ways that you can do that to make it fun and engaging. And in doing that, you are managing your class because now you don't have those disciplinary problems. Trust me, I guarantee it. The discipline is almost non-existent because kids are engaged. So, engaged kids are less likely to cause disruptions. They are less likely to need discipline. Hence, even though you have a policy, you don't really have to have it or have to use it. And instead, they are easy to manage. They create joy for you in teaching. And you have a happy face instead of angry kids. So when we manage our class, our students learn and grow in the Word. We enjoy our class and enjoy serving the Lord. And we obey God's mandate. Remember what it said in Exodus? That we are to teach them how to live godly lives. So, in review, manage, make the rules. Very easy to do. Keep them simple. A, act fairly. Everybody is going to be treated alike because kids do not like injustice. N, never give up. Unless the Lord moves you out of children's ministry, then you shouldn't be in it. But if he has not specifically said that, never give up. A, always over plan. So important. That will sink you or cause you to rise to the top. G, grow relationships. It's a big deal when you know your kids and you can actually talk with them outside the church. And E, engage the kids. So these are the most important of everything. Engage them and overplan. Here's the kids again. And what did the word say? Teach them God's decrees and give them his instructions. Show them how to conduct their lives. And that's right there. That's the mandate in Exodus. And I think you can manage your class. Woo-hoo! Okay, so I'm going to leave this up here for just a second. All right. What questions do you have? We have some time.
So, apart from the magazine, schools can recommend some online resources and websites?
I'm sure there are some. I have not looked through them recently, but I would look at major publishing companies like Group Publishing, David T. Cook, any of the big companies, and they might have links to other areas that you can go. Is that helpful? Yeah.
Where did you buy your eyes?
Where did I buy my eyes? Who did I? I've had those forever. I think it was like when Big Lots was Pick and Save. They just had eyeballs. And it's just, I've been in children's misery for so long that when I see something like that, I immediately get it. And it goes in my giant container of props. Just because I know that at some point, I mean, that is a cool illustration. Yeah.
A relental trading company, they have the eyes.
Oh.
Okay. It's the Halloween's coming, right?
Yeah. And Halloween is the best time to find things to use for the Lord. Honestly. That hat that Abby was passing around, I got that at Target. It was it had lost the sorcerer's dress, and I got to buy the hat for like 50 cents. I have used that hat for numerous things. But that was a Halloween prop.
What did you use the hat for?
To draw things out of the hat, to break kids into different groups, to find a question to answer. Yeah, everybody needs this hat. Playscape?
Yeah, the red and the blue.
I didn't bring the questions with me, but I would type out questions according to what lesson I was going to do, print out a full sheet, and then cut those questions into individual questions, fold them up. I might put them in my hat, or I'd put them in an envelope and say, this is the red teams, this is the blue teams. I would use whatever team color they are, I would print it out in that ink. So because I have two of the same questions, so I need to know, did the red team answer it correctly or did the blue team answer it correctly? So then they would take those down, plate skate across the floor. They love to do that. I mean, it's just everybody's laughing. And then put them in something that's red or green or a bucket that you say is true or false. So then after that, I would gather the kids around. Okay, so everything in this should be false. Let's see if it's right. I open them up and read them. Let's see, did God have more than one son? I think that's a false statement. Good for you. All right, red team, here you go. Did Adam have a belly button? I mean, you can throw in a couple off the wall things. But the questions would be have something to do with what we're talking about. So please don't ever just play a game because you've run out of time or you have to fill time because the parents aren't there yet. There's so much you can do with the kids. All right, so that's please. Yeah.
Do you have a useful principle
class?
Do you
have
something to
handle?
Train
the youth workers?
Yeah.
During the summer, when we would have, I would at the end of our level five, who are fifth graders graduating into sixth grade, we would give them a summer of service. So they were able to help out in any class that was younger than them. But before they did that, I would train them. This is what we want you to do. These are the expectations. These are the rules. This is how you dress. This is how you act. This is how you do what you anticipate what the teacher is going to need. So we would literally train them. Because you can't expect anybody just to know. You have to train them, whether they're adults or kids. That's true. That's true. Some of them were laughing. They were engaged. And not the one with the ring. Okay. Not that kind of engaged. Any other questions? Okay. Let me show you a few more things that I didn't get to ask. to show you. All right, if I brought something like this, how could you incorporate that into your classroom? Y'all went blank or just quiet? We are precious in His sight. Very good. All right, another great find. Actually, one of my workers bought this for me for Christmas one time as a gem. Oh, how many of you have know what this is? Oh, you're so naive. Yes, let's look like an offering bag, doesn't it? Let's suppose that we want to be free. Hold up. We want to express ourselves and just do whatever we want to do in class. Okay, put this into the bag, please. Stick it down in there. Okay, stick it. Come on. Stick it down. Okay. So all of our joys and everything, and we are just doing whatever we want. You know what you're going to reap, boys and girls? You are going to reap death. Anything else in there? So to get rid of death and come back to the Lord, ask for forgiveness, and what does He give you, Abby? Oh, no, not Abby. What does He give you? Joy and peace. They've never seen this before. This is called a change bag. Okay, a change bag is you have two different compartments. You put something in, you push a little button over here, it moves it. Can you imagine what you can do with it? I looked up magic shops. I actually bought this at a conference that I was at. But you can go to magic shops and do change bag because it changes things. Okay? Change bag. Awesome to have. You could make one. And then you could pretend it's an offering bag. See what you get. Yeah. Also, Rose Publishing Company has lots of charts and graphs, great for the visual learners. Let's say you were talking about the sanctuary and what the original tabernacle looked like, what the priest wore. I mean, there's all kinds of these, and these are from the Rose Publishing Company. This one is on Christianity and different cults compared. So with my fifth graders, I would compare Christianity to other cults and see why they're called cults. How are they different than the real? Let's look at the real, then we're going to look at the fake. There's lots of Bible maps that Rose Publishing has. So you can see, okay, this is what it looked like in Jesus' days, or Paul, or Moses, or whoever, and this is the way the land, the countries look now. So lots of visuals from that company. Let's see. Here's my favorite verse. That's the one that God has enabled me, putting me into the ministry. If you are prone to being discouraged, print it out. Put it in front of you. All right, one last thing before we go. These are Bible cards. I actually made these when my kids were young. And my oldest is 42 right now. My youngest is 32. So I've had these for a long time. And every year I use these. These came from this book that's still in print. It's by Gospel Light, the big book of Bible skills. And what you do is you print, here they are. You print them out on cardstock, color them, laminate them, and cut them out. Now you have, we don't have a table, do we? Okay. Are we okay just to get up and move some of the desk things back a little bit? Is that okay? Can we do that? Okay. All right. Yeah. right, we can... All right, so let's make like a circle right in here, okay? I'm going to show you how to use these cards. These are wonderful cards. Okay, so come on around. Come on, come on. I'm going to get down on the floor. You don't have to. I don't know if I can get up afterwards, but there we go. All right, so these are all the books of the Bible. I sat and watched a ton of movies and just colored them with colored pencils. Because I love to do that, yes. All right, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Okay, let's sing that. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua. Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel 2. Woo, woo! Okay, just because kids like that. All right, ready? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel 2. 1 Kings, 2 Kings, Chronicles, 1 and 2. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Now you have to be operatic. Song of Solomon. I think I might scare Ruth. Okay. I don't know if I can come back next year. Isaiah, Jeremiah. You know, yes, why? Why am I crying in Lamentations?
Yeah.
Lamentations means to lament. Lament means to cry. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet because he loved the nation of Israel so much. He was calling them, come back to the Lord. But they refused. Okay. So Isaiah, Jeremiah. It's a closed room. Nobody outside of us are going to know that we did this, okay? Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, and Habakkuk. Yuck. Can you get me my water somewhere in there? Habakkuk is not yuck. It's just rhymes. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, in your eyes! In your eyes. Okay, I'm going to get up and the younger person can pick them up. Wait. No. You have to be in order. Wait. Back up. That's how I feel. Dusty down there. Okay. All right. Genesis. Woo! 1 Kings, 2 Kings, Chronicles, 1 and 2. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, and Habakkuk. Yes. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, in your eyes. Okay. Okay, let's do the New Testament, and then we'll pray and be done. Okay, young person who can get on the floor and up easily. Thank you for volunteering. Okay, starting over here. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, stop. Bless the bed that I lay on. Tell the kids. See, they're not really blessing the bed that you lay on. It's just the second part of the song. Acts and Romans, Corinthians 1 and 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, then comes Thessalonians 1 and 2. Look at all the T's. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus 2, also Philemon, Hebrews, James for you, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, John 1, 2, 3, Jude, and Revelation. Thank you for salvation. Okay, wait. Okay. All right, somebody else to pick up? All right. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. Hold that for just a second. Bless the bed that I lay on. Now, if you're doing this, do you think the kids are... Oh, can I do the next one? Can I pick them up? They're engaged. This is an overtime activity. You have this in your back pocket. Yes. You whip them out. They're learning the books of the Bible. You're waiting for the parents to come, and you're using the time that God has given you. Thank you. Acts and Romans, Corinthians 1 and 2, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, then comes Thessalonians 1 and 2, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus 2, Philemon, Hebrews, James for you, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, John 1, 2, 3, Jude and Revelation. Thank you for salvation. All right, super easy. They last forever. Laminate them. Lots and lots of stuff. If you have two sets of them, you can play matching games. This, that whole book that I showed you, which is right there, the blue one, Bible Skills, the big book of Bible Skills. There's, that whole book is about what you can do with these cards. So a great thing to have. So in ending, what I hope that you get from this is that you want to manage your classroom and you want to engage your kids. That way you're not going to have the disciplinary problems that you need. And you're going to have fun, the kids are going to have fun, and they're going to be learning about the Lord. And that's the whole point of spending energy and doing that. It's not to babysit. Don't ever babysit. We're investing in kids so that they can grow up and be the next generation of people who love and serve God. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time together, and pray, God, that these truths would go deep into our hearts, Lord. Help us to never take serving you lightly, Lord. Help us to do the very best that we can do, Lord, to help train these kids to be spiritual leaders, to love you and to serve you all of their lives. And thank you, Father, for the ability and the energy and the callings that you put on our lives. Well, Lord, as we go home now, we just pray, God, that you would protect us. And thank you, Father, that our lives intersected today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. Oh, if anybody would like my business card, I have them up here. If you want to call me at any time. Oh,
thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, ladies. Thank you for being good sports, guys. You're going to make one, huh? Yeah, I think they're over on the table, over there. Yeah. Oh, yeah, please do. Thank you. Thank you. I hope there's some things that you can use. Are you going to make one? You just have to, you know, push it over so nobody sees.
Yeah.
Or you could just put it behind, you know. No, here we go. Is that cool?
Where is the sticker?
Yeah, it's just this little... That little thing right here.
Oh!
All right. Well, use it for good. Thank you very much.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Yeah, it's the first time I've seen you. Can I have that recorded?
17.
17, yeah.